Well, good day, everybody. It's nice to have such good weather and fine smiling faces and good attitudes, and as the opening prayer said, to come to worship and honor God and learn as much as we can about who He is and how we need to react to Him. Now, we're getting on that time of Passover, obviously, with the days of unleavened bread and Passover coming up very soon. Coming early this year, because we go by the Hebrew calendar, and due to the certain adjustments that need to be made in order to stay with the calendar that God inspired to be used for His holy days, an adjustment has to be made so we don't end up with the spring holy days sometime in the winter. So this is one of those years that reflect that. As Passover comes up, there are many things that go through our minds, and actually there are many important things that go through our minds and some things that don't end up being as important. What I'm going to talk about today is a subject that we have addressed in the past. It's been about 4 or 5 years since I went through this specific issue, but it's an issue that hasn't gone away. But let's first of all reflect about this Passover that is coming up and think about what it is that God wants from us. When Jesus Christ established the New Testament Passover and He had His disciples there with Him and He went through a number of issues that He wanted to talk about with them, what were the primary lessons that Jesus wanted to leave with His disciples at Passover? What was He trying to get across to them so that they could do the work that God had given them to do? And of course, what is it that He wants of us? What lessons does Jesus want us to learn? And along with that, think of three things, four things, five, of things God wants us to internalize from these days of Passover and unleavened bread. What are some of you name, just it can be a one word, it can be a very brief sentence. What are some of the things God wants us to internalize from Passover? I know you know. Humility is a very big one that He wants us to learn from Passover. And many scriptures go through and demonstrate that as He humbled Himself and was beaten and went through the humility that He went through in order to be our Savior. But something else that He wants us to understand. Yes? The value of His life and the sacrifice and the fact that He was sacrificed for all mankind. And without that sacrifice, there is no future. What other concept? What's that? To recognize our sin and our need for a Savior. What are some other things He wants us to learn? Yeah, I'm sorry. His love for us. I mean, it says that one would barely give himself for another, lay down his life for his brethren, and He laid down His life for us, and of course asks us to emulate His actions. What are some of the other things that He wanted to leave with us? That what? Okay, the evil of sin. Sin causes the death of God in the flesh. Okay. We have the, I'm doing a, what's his name? Responded to the president. Forgiveness, certainly another big one. As you think of the things that we are to be considering that He wanted to leave with us, things that were not a focus, that were not an issue with Jesus Christ on that night in which He was betrayed and in which He established the New Testament symbols of Passover, the timing of Passover was not something that He discussed and wanted them to have a clear understanding of before He died and would go be and resurrected and accepted back into the kingdom. The calendar issue. He could have spent a lot of time going through the calendar issue to make sure that nobody would have any question about how to count his holy days. Let's get the important things done. We'll get the calendar issue. And then if we get to something else like, oh, forgiveness and love and my sacrifice and that type of thing, and then we'll see if we have time for that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 is one of the many warning scriptures that were given. It says, we'll no longer be babies. We won't be tossed about like a ship that waves carry one way or another. We'll not be influenced by every new teaching we hear from people who are trying to fool us. They make plans and try any kind of trick to fool people into following the wrong path. Verse 15, he said, no, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in every way into Christ, who is the head. He says speaking the truth in love is what is the important thing to focus on, to understand, is God's love for us and our reaction and love for others as a result. And he said we have to be careful because there'll be a lot of doctrines out there, there'll be a lot of things that could end up taking us away from what he says is important. And we have to be careful we don't get caught up in that. Today we're going to talk about the date and the timing of the observance of the Passover. Now, you may wonder why we even talk about it, but it becomes an issue. I think most of you know the Church of God has a lot of different splinters. And oftentimes a splinter will come off of another group because of a way to count the calendar. It can be, and some of it is over the timing of Passover in the Old Testament and the New Testament. As I say, I went through this a couple of years ago. I would guess that there is a probability that it may not hurt to review some of these things. But basically, it's around the fact that God says that in Abel, I put Nisan as in the car in my announcements, and it's N-I-S-A-N, is also, it's Abib, Nisan, the same month in the Hebrew calendar. And it says, for one place in Deuteronomy 16, verse 1, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord your God. Keeping the Passover is not a question. God's people who are going to follow the example of Jesus Christ and the things that he said in the scripture, we keep Passover. Now the timing of Passover becomes to some an issue. Leviticus chapter 23 verse 5 says, in the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. Now he tells us when it is. He doesn't just leave it up to, well, pick whatever time you want. In fact, if you have communion every week or on every Wednesday or once a month or whatever, that's fine. That's not what he says. Some people have taken the Passover and turned it into communion, which he never did. But he says, keep the Passover, and he gives us the time to keep it. And the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And you think, well, so what's the question? We just do that, no problem. It's centered around this issue, the 14th and 15th. In fact, it's an issue that's enough. One man who is a part of the greater body of Christ has a book. It's about that thick on Passover, New Testament Passover. Because there are a lot of issues and some questions that come up as a result that you say, well, I wonder what that means. I have been challenged by someone who has even been a part of United and said, well, the only reason you keep Passover the way you do is because that's what Herbert Armstrong said to do, and that's the only reason you keep Passover when you do. The 19th might be much remembered where you do. Well, I think it's important to know why we believe what we believe and not to have to wonder whether we're doing the right thing or not. let's first review three different ideas as to what the Passover 14th, 15th issue is. I'm not going to address every issue that comes up or everything everybody brings up, but we'll give you an overview so that you should be able to go away saying, well, I know why I'm keeping Passover when I am. Here's a basic idea, that on the 14th, an evening begins at sunset. Last night, Friday evening, the Sabbath began at sunset. Okay? And going back to the time that Israel was there in Egypt and God said to give the sacrifice of the Passover, the Passover lamb was killed right there after sunset on the 14th. That's how we teach it. And that they ate the Passover after that Passover lamb was killed. They, in their own homes, in groups small enough and large enough to be able to eat a lamb. Okay, then they ate that Passover meal. And then it said they were to be out of their house in the morning. And then they were to burn everything that was left over from that Passover lamb. And then the next day they would spoil the Egyptians. And that night unleavened bread would begin at sunset. And that's when they went out of Egypt by night, as it says. We'll get to the scriptures as we go along. And so they leave Egypt. And that's the pattern that we see is how it probably happened. The night to be much remembered reflects the time that they left Egypt. And so we keep the Passover right after sunset on the 14th. We keep the night to be much observed as the day of unleavened bread begins on the 15th. Jesus established the symbols of the New Testament Passover right there, at the beginning of the 14th. Of that, there is not a question. There are some people that even question that, but I'm not even going to entertain that because it's not true. I will say that dogmatically. That's when he kept the Passover. He kept the Passover. He ate the meal with his disciples, and then he established the New Testament symbols of the Passover. Jesus died in the afternoon on the 14th, before sunset on the 15th. So he kept the Passover on the 14th. He died on the 14th as our Passover lamb. So, bottom line, we keep the Passover here. We keep night to be much remembered here. Now, the Worldwide Church of God, and I don't know if you knew this, even if you're part of the Worldwide Church of God, but Garnet Armstrong, in his book entitled The Real Jesus, said that this is the version, and that the Passover lambs were killed at the end of the 14th. Unleavened bread begins at sunset on the 15th. That Israel ate the Passover during the time of the night to be much remembered. And they went out of their house by morning, even though it was still dark. Okay, that you can go back and read that in the book if you remember even who Garnet Ted is. And then they left Egypt on the 15th. Passover and night to be much remembered were the same time. Now, again, as Worldwide Church of God taught, if you were part of Worldwide Church of God, we always kept the Passover on the beginning of the 14th. That's when Jesus Christ kept the Passover. Bottom line for me, it was good enough for Christ, and he said to do it, we do that. Again, same thing, Jesus died in the afternoon of the 14th. So we keep the Passover here at the same time Christ kept it. We keep the night to be much remembered, the beginning of the 15th. Now, there are some others who have written papers and things, and they have it a little bit different. Basically, it's the same thing. Their understanding is that the Passover lamb was killed on the afternoon, late afternoon of the 14th. Unleavened bread begins at sunset. They ate the Passover at the beginning of unleavened bread. Kept the night to be that was a night to be remembered because they left Egypt that night. And they understand the fact that Jesus kept the New Testament Passover at the beginning of the 14th. Again, that is not a question. And that Jesus died on the afternoon of the 14th at the same time the Passover lambs were being killed by many of the Jews. And that's a fact. So the night to be much remembered is kept there, and there is a group that keeps the Passover at the same time as night to be much remembered. And there are people who do that sincerely before God. I am not a person's judge if that's when they feel the Passover should be kept. Fact is, Christ kept the Passover the evening before. So, again, those are essentially the three ways of understanding what the Passover 14th, 15th issue is. And so if a person is convinced that Israel went out of Egypt on the night that unleavened bread began, and that's when the Israelites kept Passover, and that's when they should keep Passover, then it becomes an issue if somebody makes an issue out of it. There have been people who have kept it on the same evening as night to be much remembered, and done it to themselves, have not caused division within the church. That's between them and God. But why do we keep it the way we do instead of this way, for example? Well, let's look into it. For one thing, why study about it? Well, Acts chapter 17:11 says that the Bereans received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. I don't think you should keep Passover the time you do just because Herbert Armstrong kept it that way. Herbert Armstrong was a man who helped us understand more about the word of God, but he was not God. Never proclaimed to be. Why do we keep it the way we do? Matthew 23:23, I think, is an important concept that I don't think we focus on enough sometime, where he says to the Pharisees, he said, "You pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." He says, these ought you to have done. You ought to tithe. That is a biblical law and principle. Tithing is. But you ought to have done that, but not leave the other undone. There are weightier matters of the law, as I said at the very beginning. What did Jesus leave with the disciples about understanding Passover and unleavened bread? What does he leave us? What does he want us to really understand? You know, it could be said, well, you keep the Passover on exactly the right time, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. Okay, what does he focus on? Yes, we do our best to follow God in the way he says to do it. There are many things there are questions about, and I'm not sure I see it entirely clearly. There are a lot of those issues. I think Mr. McKeon addressed that a few weeks ago when he was talking about doctrine. Now, there are some things that are not like cut and dried. The Passover 14th, 15th issue is not one of those. It's absolutely cut and dried, but let's study it. So what we'll cover, we'll talk about what is the Passover. Very important to know and to help us get an understanding of why we keep Passover on the evening of the 14th the way we do. When did Moses and Israel celebrate it? We went through some of the questions about it. And when did Jesus celebrate the Passover? We've kind of pointed that out, but we'll address it some more. And really, the issue, when should we celebrate the Passover? First of all, what is Passover? Is Passover the killing of the lambs? Is Passover the eating of the lambs? You know, God told the Israelites that you kill the lamb, you eat the lamb. At this meal, is it the eating of the lambs? Is Passover the death angel passing over the children of Israel so their firstborn weren't killed? Which is it? Exodus 12, verse 21 says, take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. So he describes this lamb as the Passover lamb. You kill the lamb. That's part of Passover. Mark chapter 14, verse 12 says, in the first of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said, where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? This scripture shows that Passover included the killing of the Passover and the eating of the Passover. Both. Passover included both of those things. Exodus 12, verse 11 says, it is the Lord's Passover. I will pass through the land of Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you. They used the term Passover because their children were passed over and they were not killed as the firstborn of those who weren't inside eating the Passover. So it's all three. Exodus 12, verse 26, when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover because he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt. So, Passover includes the killing the lamb, the eating the lamb in the house during Passover time and the time that they were passed over from death. Numbers chapter 9, verse 2. It says, let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. And again, it's not just randomly whenever you decide. And so he does give us an appointed time. And he says, verse 3, on the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. And notice what it says, according to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it. And all of the rites and ceremonies included killing the lamb, eating the lamb, and the fact that they were, and go back and reflect on the fact that they were saved from death. And when it talks about the appointed time, again, it's specific. Numbers 9, verse 2, keep the Passover at its appointed time. And verse 3 says, on the 14th. Now, when it says to keep Passover at its appointed time with all of its ceremonies on the 14th, would it make sense to kill the Passover lamb on the afternoon of the 14th and then keep Passover on the 15th? Okay, now, it's possible that that's what happened. But I keep it the way I do because I believe that this is not the way that it occurred. So let's talk about, when did Israel keep the Passover? Again, we go by the Hebrew calendar, and this first month is called Abib. It's also called Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. And it says in Exodus 12, verse 3, on the 10th day of this month every man shall take for himself a lamb. And so the families were to get this lamb. They were to nurture it for a few days. And then it says, verse 12, you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. So you get it in the 10th, on the 10th, you keep it on the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, and you keep it up until the 14th, and then you kill it. Let's take just this cross section of the 14th and 15th and discuss why, again, there's an issue about it, and why would there even be a question about killing it on the 14th? Exodus 12, verse 6 says, you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Exodus 12, verse 6, and the whole assembly of the congregation in Israel shall kill it in the evening. So you kill it on the evening of the 14th. Now you take the word evening, and what does evening mean? The Jewish Publication Society translates that word as dusk. Keep it, kill it at dusk. The Tanakh, the Holy Scriptures, says keep it until twilight. Most of your New King James Version and most other translations will have twilight. Moffat, he says, kill it between sunset and dark. Those of you who are bird hunters know that concept, right? Is that when the sun sets, you've got a certain amount of time you can still hunt until it's dark, right? Sun sets, you've got enough time where you can see, but it's still night. Again, most modern translations say twilight. Dictionary describes twilight as the subdued light just after sunset, the period of time from sunset till dark. So you kill the Passover in the evening, in this twilight, the time right after sunset until dark. Numbers 9, verse 3, in the 14th day of this month, at even, you shall keep it. Jerome Biblical Commentary says, on the 14th of Nisan, between the time that the sun went down and darkness fell. Now, we know that according to Scripture, sunset begins a new day. Like I said, last night began the Sabbath, sunset this evening, the Sabbath will end. Dusk is a period of time that is right after a sunset. It's elsewhere called between the evenings, between the evening time when sun sets and the evening time where it gets dark. Okay, that little bit of time. There's midnight. I think that's plain enough. I made a gradation there on that to show essentially when the sun sets, it gets dark, and then the sun starts to get light in the morning. That line there in the middle on the 14th, that's morning time. Okay, it's 12 hours dark, 12 hours day, basically. Okay, morning comes when the sun begins to come up. Okay, so why the problem? It seems as though it's pretty cut and dried, right? Is that you kill it the 14th after the sun sets and as it's getting dark. The problem is a day begins and ends with an evening. Okay, we have sunsets the evening, tonight at sunset, it is the evening, right? So it ends one day, begins another. So there's evening, and there's evening. And there's an evening time that is just before sunset. And when you see that sun start to set there, it's not quite there, but it's getting darker. It's getting evening. And so there's an evening at the end of a day, an evening at the beginning of a day. The context tells whether the evening is the beginning or an end of a day, the context in Scripture. And sometimes it is not easy to determine whether it means that I'll see you tomorrow evening. Now, if it's a Sabbath, you say, well, is it like the time that's getting at the end of tomorrow, or is it time beginning? Okay, Numbers chapter 9, verse 3 says, in the 14th day of the month at even. So is it sunset in that period of time right after? Or is it the 14th day of the month at even as it begins to get in to the evening? Okay, and that's the way many render it and understand it. And you know, it is possible that that's what it was talking about. You can do a lot of study on it, and you know, people will accuse me of being wishy-washy when I, you know, don't get up and say, anybody else is wrong if they think it's any other way. I'm fairly sure that the way that I'm presenting it is the way we should, otherwise I wouldn't do it. But there are sincere people who keep it differently, and again, they keep it before God. So if you want to be dogmatic about it, you can. That's up to you. The Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, and here's where some of the problem comes in. It says the Pharisees and Sadducees had a dispute as to the time when the slaughtering should take place. The Jews themselves could not come to an understanding of exactly when that Passover should be killed. There were some that killed it at the beginning of the 14th. Others killed it at the end of the 14th. They both killed it on the 14th. Some killed it at the beginning. Some killed it at the end period of time. And this is what was happening at the time of Christ. Because I expect you've asked yourself the question, well, okay, the Jews were out slaughtering the lambs at the time Christ died so they could keep their Passover that evening. They were going to keep it on the 15th. That was their time that many of the Jews, the Pharisees, would keep the Passover. Yet there were others, the Sadducees, who kept it at the same time Christ kept it. So there was a dispute. It wasn't like, oh, those people are absolutely wrong, these people are absolutely right. It's like, wow. So the former held it should be in the last 3 hours before sunset, and the latter between sunset and nightfall. Okay, so even the Jews, like in many things, are confused about it or not on the same page about it. It's important to ask the question, is Passover separate from unleavened bread? Although those who say Passover has to be at the same time of unleavened bread because we eat unleavened bread at the Passover. That means that it has to be on unleavened bread. Well, it doesn't. We'll show you why in a moment. But again, let's look at the scriptures. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 5, it says, in the 14th day at the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And we're putting it there, the time right after sunset, before dark. Verse 23, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Passover is the 14th. Unleavened bread begins on the 15th. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And that's what we'll be doing. We'll be following Christ's example. We'll be doing according to what he said, is to put leavening out of our lives. After his sacrifice, for 7 days, we'll eat unleavened bread on through the 21st. Leviticus 23, verse 7, on the first day of unleavened bread, you shall have a holy convocation. And so we will have our holy day coming up, corresponding to the Hebrew calendar, although we go by the Roman calendar. Unleavened bread this year? Monday? Tuesday? First day of unleavened, Tuesday, right? Okay, it's Tuesday. So don't let that throw you. This is the Hebrew calendar. In verse 8 of Leviticus 23, on the seventh day shall be a holy convocation. Exodus chapter 12, 18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. So we're talking about the 14th day of the month at even, when the 14th day is ending and the 15th is beginning. Now the word at even there can end up throwing you, as I said. And a lot of it depends on the context, and that's why there is some dispute and discussion. But it says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening. So it's on the first 14th, not before the 14th at even, but on the first day of the month at even, the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st of the month in the evening. And so, in other words, beginning on the 15th, you begin eating unleavened bread. And so it goes from the evening after the 14th to through the 21st at the end of the 21st. Chapter 12, verse 19, for 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses. So is Passover separate from unleavened bread? Exodus chapter 12, verse 6 says, Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Remember we said that twilight is there between the evenings. Exodus 12, verse 12, I will pass through the land of Egypt that night. Okay, so Israel killed their lambs at twilight after sunset on the 14th, and then that night, and at midnight it happened, I will pass through the land. Exodus 12:29, at midnight the Lord killed all the firstborn sons at the land of Egypt, and so the passing over occurred at that time. In Exodus 12:22, speaking of the Passover lamb, it said, no one may leave that house until morning, and then you burn the lamb that's left over. So we're told, no one leaves their house until morning. Now again, there are those that feel, as we'll show, I think, in a little bit here, that they, right after the Passover occurred at midnight, then they started leaving because after midnight it was morning. Now, if you put yourself back in the time of Israel and you kill your, you keep your lamb and you keep it for three and a half days there, and then you kill it on the 14th, and then you cut it up, and then you start roasting it, and it's taking a while to roast, and then you eat it that evening. It's pretty late evening, granted. And then at midnight, this cry goes out, and these children, these cattle, these firstborn are killed, and there's great wailing going on, and you hear it in the background. And you're there, and God says, don't go out of the house until morning, or your children will be killed too. I'm staying in the house for a while. You know, I'm not going to take a chance. Well, it's midnight. Must be morning. I'm getting out of here. What if morning, and God is saying, till it starts to get light, is morning. Like when most of us say morning. Sometimes I woke up early this morning. It was 12:30. Well, that's not when you want to get up, right? Morning means, okay, that sun's starting to get in my eyes and I can't sleep anymore. Okay. So when he says that no one may leave that house until morning, you're going to want to be safe. Okay, it's time to take a break and have a song, and then we'll have announcements, and we'll finish up the second part of the Passover question. Again, the way that we understand the lamb is killed after sunset on the 14th, between the evenings, the Passover meal was eaten after, obviously, the lamb was killed in that early part of the evening on into, and it would have taken, because they were roasting it, and then get everything ready to go, would have taken on into a late night meal. The death angel passes over the children of Israel, who were there observing the Passover. They were to burn their leftovers in the morning, let none of it remain until morning, and then after the morning, leave your houses. Exodus 12:36, then they plundered the Egyptians. And they said, our children are dead, get out of here, we don't want you, we'll pay you to leave. And they gave them all these things, some of the golden things they made into a golden calf later on, unfortunately. The 15th came, sunset. In Deuteronomy 16 and verse 1, it said, the Lord, God brought you out of Egypt by night. They didn't leave in that afternoon period. It's possible they could have started leaving as they packed up and started moving on out of Egypt there on the afternoon of the 14th. But when they crossed the borders, when they went out of Egypt and their slavery, it was done by night. It's always interesting to think about when we do the night to be much remembered that specifically talks about remembering the time I brought you out of Egypt, that while we eat a fine meal and we fellowship and then we go and go to bed and get a good night's sleep so we can get up the next day and go to services, they were walking out of Egypt all night. It would have been quite an interesting event. Okay, so I brought you out of Egypt by night. Numbers 33, verse 3 says, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after Passover, the children of Israel went out. So they either went out after the lamb was killed immediately and started leaving if they were going to leave by night, or they didn't leave till the next day. So if you believe on that the 15th was the Passover, night to be much remembered, children of Israel leaving, and everything occurred that evening, then you've got to say they left at the dark time of morning. But he said they went out by night, which was the entire evening, actually. Exodus 12 and verse 42, it says, it is a night to be much observed to the Lord. And what is a night to be much observed about? Is it about the Passover? When it talks about the night to be much remembered, observed, and you tell your children about this, he said, for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. It doesn't say night to be much remembered is remembering the Passover. It said it's remembering when they came out of Egypt. Passover on the 14th, the 15th began the day of unleavened bread when they went out by night and then on into the next day. The Encyclopedia Judaica, again, and there are those who have reasons why they feel it's otherwise, but here's some history. And it says the Passover, the Feast of Passover consists of two parts. the Passover ceremony and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Two parts, not one, not a combined. It says originally both parts existed separately, but at the beginning of the exile they were combined. After they had gone into captivity, they ended up doing things a little differently as time went on, as they lost some understanding. It says Passover was originally not a pilgrimage feast when they were walking out, but a domestic ceremony, you did at home, consisting of the slaughtering and eating of the paschal animal. So Encyclopedia Judaica says that there was Passover, which they did in their homes, and then unleavened bread came when they left their homes, and it typified the travel of leaving their homes. Again, is Passover and unleavened bread separate? Josephus, this is book 2, chapter 10, paragraph 5, book 3. Josephus says, "We do celebrate this Passover in companies, leaving nothing of what we sacrifice until the following day." Okay, so we keep the Passover, and then we don't, anything that's left over from that meal, from that lamb, then we get rid of. The Feast of Unleavened Bread succeeds that of the Passover and falls on the 15th day of the month and continues 7 days. So from Josephus' point of view, the Passover was kept. You burned the lamb. They were able to leave their houses on that night. And then the next day is unleavened bread. Jerome Bible Commentary says, originally Passover and unleavened bread were completely distinct feasts. And that's the way we have it today. We have Passover. Unleavened bread does not begin until the evening afterwards. In the scripture, you see the term Passover and unleavened bread used interchangeably. But they're separate events. You read through and it says, well, it says it's Passover. Or it says it's unleavened bread. But it's much like we do with tabernacles. And we say we're going to the Feast of Tabernacles. Are you going to the last great day or not? Well, yeah. I'm going to keep the last great day. Last great day falls after the Feast of Tabernacles. It's another ceremony, if you will, depicting something else. And so we use that interchangeably. Josephus wrote again, book 2, chapter 15, says, "We keep the feast for 8 days, which is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The 14th is the Passover. Unleavened bread begins the 15th on through the 21st, and it's a total of 8 days, even though the Passover is not the day of unleavened bread. But we keep the feast for 8 days, which is called unleavened bread. We keep the Feast of Tabernacles for 8 days, which we call tabernacles, but includes the last great day. Luke chapter 22, verse 1 says, "The Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called Passover." Indeed it is. I mean, how many times have we referred today, well, Passover is coming. Well, you're not keeping unleavened bread this year? Well, yeah, but I mean, it's Passover, unleavened bread, it's all the same. Sometimes, well, you know, unleavened bread is coming up, but you're not keeping the Passover? Well, yeah, I mean, unleavened bread, Passover, you don't say Passover and unleavened bread each time. And you can use it interchangeably, and everybody knows what you're talking about. It's not making a doctrinal statement about anything. Luke chapter 22, verse 7, "And then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed." It is that time of year of unleavened bread. The question comes up, why do we eat unleavened bread at Passover, though? And you think about it, we have Passover, we have the bread, which is unleavened. and the wine, which represents the sinless body of Christ and his shed blood. And we break that bread, and then we go home, and the next morning get up and pop some toast in the oven and eat some toast or a hamburger for that lunch. What was Passover? We had unleavened bread. So unleavened bread must be at Passover. In fact, I've got probably what I'll give is a split sermon length just talking about this specifically on why Christ was killed before unleavened bread and why they're different times. But the Passover is a sacrifice. Exodus chapter 12, verse 27 says it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. The sacrifices that God commanded to be made, which pictured the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and all those sacrifices point us toward Jesus Christ, had to be unleavened. So when a sacrifice was made, they say, make this sacrifice to me. Go into Leviticus chapter 5, and it starts giving all those sacrifices and say, make it with unleavened bread, because those sacrifices represent the sinless body of Christ, his sinless life. For example, Leviticus 2, verse 4, it says, a grain offering shall be unleavened loaves. Was it unleavened bread? No. The sacrifice demanded unleavened bread. Sacrifices and offerings, including the bread, pictured the sinless Messiah, unleavened. So it would, you would only have that sacrifice picturing made with unleavened bread. Okay, now the question, when did Jesus keep the Passover? I mean, he was on earth. He set us an example. He did not keep it on the 15th. And again, there's one group, and you can find anything you want, but there's one group, I believe, that somehow works it around as, well, Jesus kept the Passover on the 15th, which it's not worth the time. I apologize if you think that. But Matthew chapter 26, verse 17 says, now on the first, and the word day of the feast is italicized. You look at that in your New King James or King James. Now on the first of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, where will you that we prepare for you to eat the Passover? Now Jesus was eating a Passover meal, and that's that meal he had with the disciples. So using the tradition that they had done for so long of eating the Passover with the lamb and with the herbs and the unleavened bread, which they had done for so many years, that's what they were going to do before he established the symbols, the New Testament Passover, which were his body and blood represented by the bread and wine. Some of the translations say on the first of the days of unleavened bread, he went to eat the paschal meal, that Passover lamb. And said, where would you want us to prepare for your Passover supper? So Jesus understood that evening he would be going and eating the Passover meal as traditionally had been done. He wasn't saying, well, wait a minute, it's a day too early. There's a whole bunch of Jews that are going to be killing lambs tomorrow afternoon, and well, you guys just need to do your Passover then, but I'll be dead by then. No, he said, okay, we're going to eat the Passover meal, which they did. Matthew chapter 26, 18, and he said, go into the city to a certain man and say unto him, the teacher says, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So he was going to eat the Passover. He kept it on the 14th. Matthew 26, 19, so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover, as they had done all through the time that they knew Jesus, which he had done every year all of his life. So the meal that they had was called the Passover. The lamb was killed and prepared beforehand by some of the disciples. And so they killed the Passover, prepared the meal, and had a meal that evening with Jesus, which was the traditional Passover. And then when the supper was done, it said he went up, and then he did those symbols of Passover that we are so familiar with, which is the bread and the wine. So the disciples prepared the room. They killed and ate the Passover meal after sunset on the beginning of the 14th. This is not disputable. Jesus prayed in the garden after the meal. He sweat blood, and he said, couldn't you stay up with me? And then in the very early morning hours, he was captured. When he was betrayed by Judas, he was tried during this late night, early morning period of time and into morning. And then in the afternoon of the 14th, he was crucified and died. At the time that he was crucified and died, many of the Jews, the Pharisees, as we showed earlier, were killing the Passover lambs in preparation for their Passover on that evening after sunset on the 15th. Question is, when should we celebrate the Passover? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26 says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we are proclaiming the Lord's death. We follow his example. He set up those symbols, the New Testament Passover with the bread and the wine, and we remember his death. We do not celebrate the Old Testament Passover. We don't have the meal of the Passover lamb and the herbs and the unleavened bread. We do it as Christ said to, and we do it honoring him and show the Lord's death till he come. He died on the 14th. He died before the 15th came on, before unleavened bread. He kept the Passover on the 14th. We keep the Passover on the 14th. That's his example. And even if there are questions that are not fully understandable, I think we're very, very safe following his example. Kept the Passover on the 14th, died on the 14th. We do what Jesus did. The same as the apostles did. So again, what is the most important thing? 1 Corinthians 11, 27, when we're talking about Passover and unleavened bread, we could get into a lot of different questions that sometimes engender strifes and doubts and divisions and that type of thing. But it tells us if anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. He said that's why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. It's about our relationship with God. It's about his sacrifice for us. It's about our understanding that sacrifice and our need for a Savior and of becoming more like Jesus Christ. It's that self-examination. It's discussing the things that he talked about, such as becoming one. He says, Father, I want them to be one like we are one, and loving one another. And when we read through those things that he talked to the disciples about, it was not about, well, boy, we're keeping this night tonight, and they're keeping it tomorrow night. What do you think, guys? It was about judgment, mercy, faith. So we do the best to keep God's word. He says to keep it. When there are questions about it, we move forward in faith that we're doing God's will. And I think there's no disputing the fact that when we come to God and when we are called to judgment, and he says, when did you keep Passover? So same time Jesus did. I think we're going to be safe. Oh, okay. I do have another scripture. I just added it yesterday afternoon late. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For indeed Christ is our Passover, sacrificed for us. Therefore, let's keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We need to have the truth. We need to be sincere in what we do with as much understanding as God has given for us. But again, those should be that should be our line of focus, is God's will for us, not disputes about things that are relatively unimportant.